All right, guys, there are great news out there. There is great news that we found out yesterday, and that is that Dwight Howard has decided to come and enter the bubble in Orlando with his Laker teammates, that the Lakers are going to have who I would argue is their third most important player to try to go win a championship. Dwight Howard is going to come back to the Lakers and play for them in the playoffs.
Well, I don't think that's an argument, right? I don't think you have to argue that. If you've been watching the Lakers and you've been watching basketball, you certainly know that based on what he's given us, that he is the third most important player when on the floor with LeBron and AD at the end of games. I mean, that's pretty clear. It's big time for him to join the Lakers, and I was about to say join us in Orlando, but join the Lakers in Orlando because they certainly need him. We were all trying to figure out, okay, what's going to happen if he decides not to play, where they're going to get that extra big that they need from. You know, they're not going to all of a sudden extend JaVale McGee's minutes. So we were sitting back hoping and somewhat praying that he would wind up playing, but it had to be a right situation. And clearly it was the right situation. You know, he got it worked out with the family situation. He also has decided to donate 2019-2020 rest of season paycheck to a cause. I mean, so he got all of those things ready to go. And he also has his sights set on the Lakers getting a championship.
Well, it's just fewer variables.
Well, it's an opportunity for him to do multiple things that really helps his legacy. Not that he's thinking about legacy, but at the end of the day, you know, that's what you reflect on while you're in your deathbed. Is how did you impact the world? You know, how did you impact the people in your life? You know, moments that you wish you would be able to do over again. And, you know, Dwight has an opportunity to get the ring, to go along with the Hall of Fame career. He gets an opportunity to continue to work in this effort. His foundation, D12, was started in 2011. This is another chapter in his foundation in terms of using this money to go and try to help in terms of social justice. So this is a huge move for him. And for someone who's essentially ran out of town or was chased out of town, depending upon how you want to characterize it, because he was too immature, what I see now is a grown-ass man making big boss decisions. And it's always awesome to see people mature in real time. You know, we forget he came straight out of high school. He was a child, basically. 19, what, 18? Mm-hmm. He started in the league. And now in his 30s, father, philanthropist, and the champion, that's a nice run. That's a really good run. I'm happy for it. I really am.
Yeah, I am too. And I want to make sure that I make this clear. I am not trivializing the decision that he had to make. It was an incredibly difficult decision and multifaceted, like you're talking about. It's a legacy on two fronts. It's legacy in basketball and it's legacy in did I make the world a better place on my time here? And that was what he was debating and deciding whether or not he wanted to come back. That being said, this is a huge deal for the Lakers as a basketball team because we talked about it yesterday that this is their best shot to win a championship with LeBron James, that everything that could be going right from a basketball perspective really has. You go back to pre-pandemic, you go back to the way that they were playing when they beat Milwaukee, when they beat the Clippers, they were rolling, and LeBron is at a high level. Anthony Davis is at a high level. Dwight is playing at a high level. You've got all these guys that are just clicking, and now all of a sudden, once you go into the bubble and we restart the season and you go into the postseason, the Lakers, at least on paper, or more or less the same team that they were going in. I know that Avery Bradley has opted out, but that is a piece that is far more easy to replace than Dwight Howard. That we talked about their best shot. Their best shot is still right now. Had he decided to opt out, they are one of the teams that has a chance as opposed to the team that you have to beat. We don't know what next year is going to look like. We don't know what LeBron's going to look like or Anthony Davis or any of the other variables. That everything that could have happened that would point in the Laker direction continues to do that with this decision. From a just purely basketball, this is a huge deal for them.
It is a huge deal. And I think that you look at Frank Vogel's press conference, you look at where Rob Pelinka spoke, you could certainly hear in their voice that they had deep concern on whether or not Dwight would be joining the team because they didn't have an answer, or better yet, they elected to not have an answer for the replacing him. but they had an answer immediately for Avery Bradley. And so because of that, it told you right then and there that they're holding out with hope that he makes the decision to join them in Orlando.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? It's so funny that what was seen as a move for desperation, right, by a lot of people, not us, because, you know, we're sensible individuals, but a lot of people thought, you know, bringing in Dwight Howard and Joakim Noah were acts of desperation. And I advocated originally, you guys know this, for Joakim, but yeah. I was perfectly happy with Dwight. And you look at the two favorites, and they both have Joakim and Dwight on the squad. So it's just absolutely hilarious when you think about where, you know, Dwight was at the beginning of this season with a contract that said, basically, prove it. And now it's, we can't do it without you. And it's just a remarkable kind of transformation. And if there was a comeback player of the year award, certainly, you know, he will be in the front runner for it. And if there was a comeback agent player of the year award, certainly Lee Steinberg will be it, because that money was
But was Dwight basketball skills dead, or was he just from a mental standpoint became so toxic that people just didn't want to deal?
Take your pick. Look, he was available to anybody that wanted him, right? He bounced around from team to team to team at the end of the line. And it was a, hey, why the hell not? Like LZ said, that it's a, if it works out, great. It's found money. If it doesn't, it didn't cost us anything and we keep it moving. This is my entire point. It worked out perfectly. It didn't just work out to the, oh, you know what? He's got a little left and this is a guy that can give us a couple of minutes here and there and maybe block a shot and do with this, that, or the next. It's not that. It was found money that turned into an essential part. This is my point, that stuff like this doesn't happen very often, where a flyer turns out to be a huge win, where just kind of throwing something against the wall not only sticks, but actually becomes something that you have to have. That's why him deciding to play this year is such a big deal, because the odds of something like that happening again moving forward, where your third most important player is just a guy you picked up for virtually nothing, that doesn't happen very often. That's why this season is so important, because when stuff starts to go your way, you need to take advantage of it, because it doesn't go your way for very long.
No, it does not. And, you know, whether you're the Lakers or the Clippers or the Bucks, Sixers, the Celtics, you can't assume because you have a nice young superstar, AD, Giannis, or Jason Tatum, whatever, that you're in for the long haul. You can't assume that, because there are tons of examples, and Dwight Howard is one of them, of a young superstar having some early success and then having problems replicating it. The difference we have, of course, is that we got LeBron. Mm-hmm. And while I know a lot of people roll their eyes at the notion of hearing, oh, well, you got LeBron, it really is saying, like, we got Jordan. Like, it's that big of a deal in terms of a difference maker.
Hey, he ain't Jordan.
You don't need to be Jordan. It's like saying we got Jordan, which is, if you have him on your squad and he's healthy, you're in a good chance in terms of winning.
Hey, he ain't no Michael Jordan. What's wrong with you?
And there's not a lot of players you can say that about. You can say, Travis, you can certainly say if you have a lot of players that you could be in contention.
Right.
But to say, oh, you're a favorite, there's not a lot of guys in the league like that.
I think it gets a little confusing at times. When you say that this is LeBron's best shot to win a championship with the Lakers, it's not because of LeBron. It's because of everything else. Right. That you know LeBron is going to give you LeBron. And we know what that means. And what that means is, if he's not the best player in the league, he's second. Or maybe if he's having a really terrible year, he's the third best player in the league. You know exactly what you're going to get from him. It's everything else that goes into winning a championship that is completely unreliable, that's completely unpredictable, that you can try to stack the deck as best as you can with supporting players and role players, but injuries are a wild card. Guys just not performing well are a wild card. All of these other things are just completely up in the air. So when you say that this is LeBron's best shot to win a championship with the Lakers, it actually has nothing to do with LeBron. It has everything to do with the guys that aren't LeBron James. And this season, the guys that aren't LeBron James have been fantastic, and you got to seize on it.
And I think that was the message that Dwight was sending. He said the Lakers basically have an opportunity to win a championship. Why get in the way of that if you can work it out with the family and work it out so that you can do everything that you need to do outside of basketball? That was important. I don't want to lose, you know, sight of that. That he mentioned the fact that championship was on his mind as well. And with that being said, when not just the superstars, but the second and the third line guys are thinking that way, it helps your entire team process what they get ready to go up against.
They're going to get him, and the bubble opens up on Thursday. That's just great news that we're getting closer and closer to NBA basketball. Cross your fingers, everybody, because just because you start doesn't mean you get there. The Lakers are absolutely set up. All right. The snake draft is a final, and it is our closest one ever. We'll tell you who won next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Well, it is official. Our closest ever snake draft, guys.
Thank you.
All of us in the mid to low 30s. Unfortunately, it did not go my way, Raj.
It didn't go your way, but I tell you what, Travis, it's like the Rocky movie, man. You really inspired a lot of people out there. You put up a fight. You know, you went the decision. You didn't get knocked out in the first round as usual. So, but congratulations to LZ. Let's hear his theme song. I mean, he gets another victory here, but it was close, man. A lot of toys. And Keyshawn's Twitter reaction is, if you didn't go the educational route, you would have got this one. But I think the speaking spell really hurt you. But it brought back a lot of memories for fans, and it's fun. You can still look at the list on ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed and, you know, go back down memory lane and see some of your favorite toys.
Yeah. I want to thank all the people who are involved in helping to shape my decision-making. All the retailers who priced it too high so my poor ass couldn't get them.
He was looking through them catalogs.
Listen, I would like to thank all the TV networks that kept broadcasting them damn commercials, taunting me, reminding me how poor I was. I want to thank poverty in general. Because of poverty, I couldn't afford them, and I remembered it. And because I remembered it, it was easy for me to pull up the name of the toys that were really, really popular. So thank you.
Well,
thank you, everybody.
It was a narrow win. Your list was pretty good. 35% of the vote for you, and Key and I each had 32.5% of the vote. Key and I tied for
rigged.
Second.
Something ain't right.
He had a pretty good list. This was close. Look, I'm taking it as a win. This is like me, like you said, Raj.
Oh, hell no. Rocky. You ain't take, no, you take it as a loss.
No.
Look, you see how you try to colonize my victory? What the hell?
This is just like Rocky, where after it was over, everybody was excited just that I made it interesting. So this is good enough for me. I'm going to go buy a leather jacket with a tiger on the back, and I'm going to start walking around like I own the place.
Man, Raj, you falling further behind.
You see this, Raj?
I see him.
Christopher Columbus, my victory. I'm going to sail on up and be like,
do you not believe in moral victories, LZ? Come on.
He didn't even congratulate. If your moral victory speech is longer than your congratulatory speech to me, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong.
Well,
I'm just telling
you. Says you. I'm very happy on that one.
And just a quick preview. Speaking of Rocky, it was Sylvester Stallone's birthday, I believe, yesterday. So tomorrow's snake draft might have a little something to do with the Italian Stallion. So make sure you listen in.
Cobra.
I remember that one. Yeah. I saw that in the theaters, Trav.
It's actually a good movie. Like,
what kind of car was that?
The Gran Torino, right?
It's a snake draft.
I want to say it was like a Camaro or something like that. I don't remember the car, Super. I think it was a Camaro. Speaking of snakes, how about you? I asked you guys this during the break.
It's a snake draft.
LZ, you've been to Australia. Key, have you ever been to Australia?
Yes.
Okay. Did you guys check the back seat of the car when you got in? Because apparently snakes are invading back seats of cars in Australia. A guy was driving down the highway when he noticed an eastern brown snake that is a highly venomous snake that was responsible for the majority of snake bite deaths in Australia. You don't have to look out for other cars. You got to check out the backseat for eastern brown venomous killer snakes in Australia. Did you guys do that?
No, I didn't think about that.
I did visit the vineyards, but I rolled up the windows when we left the car.
Yeah, I don't know how I would react to seeing a snake in my car.
I know exactly how you would react.
I probably didn't even say nothing. I probably trying to pull over slow and jump out.
It's when you read the story, it's the part where he says the snake began to like wrap himself around his leg and was attacking him, but it kept hitting the cushion in the seat between his legs. It's almost like one of those. It's like one of those movies, right? Where the guy falls down and then whatever is coming after him hits right in between the legs, threatening everything. And you're just like, oh, the fact that he was able to not only not crash the vehicle and avoid getting bitten, but then he actually had the time to actually kill the snake too. I was like, this man needs a movie. Okay. This man, he doesn't need a stunt double because he's doing all the stunting himself. That's incredible.
I don't know how you guys roll in this regard, but I don't fancy myself somebody that's scared. Like, I don't live life scared, right? I don't worry about somebody coming into the house at the middle of the night.
Obviously, you're going out all the time.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, too.
Man, you probably live in an area where you could keep your windows and doors open. They're not, you know.
Like, it's
are
a
your
nice
doors locked, Travis? Are your doors locked, Travis?
At night? Like during the day.
If you,
of course,
if you need
of
to clarify,
man, you know
you
Travis
clarify,
living one, but Travis is living in one of them neighborhoods with a neighbor. He just walks in your house without even announcing, knocking on the door. They just come in like, hey, what's up, Trav?
When we go to bed at night, the door is locked, but not during the day. No, it's not.
Travis' garage. Travis' garage is open and everything. Broad daylight, garage door wide open.
Did you grow up not locking your doors during the daytime? This is fascinating to me.
No, I will tell you the truth here, LZ.
Richard Ramirez.
Raj, that's a good point too. We never locked our front door ever until Richard Ramirez started coming around, and then we did lock it. And then once they caught him, we left it open again. Yeah, it's true.
Like he was only one. Like there was only one, and they got him.
He got two people in Arcadia where I grew up, so we wanted to make sure that we weren't the third people. But the point of all this is this: I always look in the back seat of the car before I get into it. Because, like, I don't know if it's in movies or TV shows or whatever, but that idea of that person hiding in the backseat behind the passenger,
that is
a real thing that freaked me out. And every time I get in the car, I take a quick peek in that backseat to make sure I'm by myself.
Absolutely. I got the same every time I get in, I look in the backseat, especially in the mornings when I got to drive in. I'm looking in the backseat to make sure there ain't nobody laying down in my backseat.
I'm just going to let you guys know. Clearly, you both don't know you're doing it wrong. Because if you're already in the car and someone's in the back seat, the battle's almost halfway over.
You
need to check before you get in.
You just take a quick peek.
You both said when you got in the car, you look back.
Before you get in the car, you take a peek in that back. I was watching. I'm getting caught up on Homeland. I had never seen it before. Yeah. Somebody recommended it. So I'm halfway through season two. Great series. But when one of the Marines is hiding in the backseat of that lady's car, I'm like, see, that right there is why
like
you always got
to
look in the backseat.
I watch stuff to scare myself. Knowing I shouldn't be watching stuff late at night, and I just watching and scare myself, and then I hear something, and I got to think twice.
That being said, I don't know if either one of us would see a snake, Key, because this snake doesn't look super huge. It looks like it could hide in the corner. You'd never see it.
Well, that's one of the reasons I scream at my kids for leaving our garages up. I don't like that because, you know, animals can get in the garage. Obviously, snakes, coyotes, whatever. I don't want to walk outside and see a mountain lion looking at me and I'm in the garage and I ain't got nowhere to go.
Who was it? Clinton Ha Ha Dix with the Bears? Where he just goes.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of snake episodes on our property, including a couple of rattlesnakes. And so I'm very, very diligent when it comes to making sure that the doors are closed. Even when the dogs go out, I'm like, yeah, y'all want to get back in? Y'all got to knock. I'm not just leaving this open so y'all can just run in and out because I never know when a snake or a scorpion may decide I'm just going to walk up on in here.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, all of us live in areas. Well, maybe downtown for you, LZ, when you're here in L.A., you're probably rattlesnake safe. But where Key is, where you are in Arizona, you better check underneath the patio table. You better check underneath whatever else you got going out there because those things like the shade right up until they don't. And then wham, and it's your story on Twitter about getting a rattlesnake as opposed to the guy in Australia.
Rolled up in the corner by the barbecue pit.
Yes. Man, we got it. We have our on-off switch for the misters we just installed.
Oh, your misters installed. Oh, my God.
It's too low. And so I'm going to need to call him back because I'm going to need him to raise that up some more and get it in a sunnier area. Because to your point, Travis, it's kind of in the shade. And so now every single time I want to turn it on, I got to check first real slow, like move real slow, look all around, inspect it, and then push the button. So
I realized how scared I am of creatures the other day. My youngest and I, we went down to the park and I was throwing in batting practice and he hits the ball. So we go to collect the balls in the outfield. And as we're collecting them, there's a giant tarantula in center field. I said, you know what? We'll just leave those balls there for the time being.
They don't have venom.
I don't care what venom or they have or don't have. All I know is the size of my fist, messing with that thing.
You watched the Brady Bunch, that episode in Hawaii, one too many times.
I'm not using your crackpot version of wild animal kingdom knowledge. I'm not taking any chances.
Black on yellow and use all right, fellow.
I got time. If I see an animal, I'm not doing nursery rhymes to decide whether or not I should mess with it or not. I'm just going to leave it alone. I don't even really mess with little dogs. You know, little teacup dogs? I don't even mess with them because I don't know if the owner got the rabies shots. I don't know what's going on with that. So if it's got teeth, it ain't for me.
It's not my dog. That is for sure. All right, guys. The NBA was trying to make sure that its players had a voice, but one player in particular says that they got it all wrong. We'll tell you what that is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So we're getting closer to the restart in Orlando. We just found out, LZ, you just mentioned that Bradley Beal has decided not to play for the Wizards.
Yeah, I mean, look, the team is awful anyway, so it's not like he's given up an opportunity to win anything. But as far as I can tell, he's the biggest name that said, I'm not going. And the rationale, you know, for him, you know, is secondary to the fact that, you know, a lot of guys are taking this risk-reward thing very seriously from a variety of different sports. And here you have a multi-time All-Star, and some say he should have been All-Star this year, saying, you know what, we're not in a position to win. I'm not taking the risk. Yeah, I love to play ball, but I don't need to be in that bubble.
Yeah, that one seems like a very understandable decision. When they do play, and not just the Wizards, but all the teams in the bubble, the players are going to have an option of putting a message on their jersey. The league put together a list of potential messages that they could have on their jerseys instead of their names. I'm not going to read all of them. There's a bunch of them. But Black Lives Matter, Say Their Names, Vote, I Can't Breathe, Si Se Puede, Liberation, Love Us, Respect Us, Listen to Us, Stand Up. Mike Scott, who plays for the 76ers, said that the NBA, it was a bad miss because they're only allowing players to choose from the list of possibilities as opposed to allowing them to choose whatever they want to put on their jerseys. Doesn't feel like a bad miss. To me, it feels like maybe you can, you know, case-by-case basis, I'll decide whether or not you want to allow it. But is this not an overreaction?
I would – you know, I don't think it's an overreaction. I think he has a point that, you know, saying Black Lives Matter is cool and say their names, but if he wants to give homage to those victims of, you know, police brutality or whatever the case may be, they should be able to do that. I mean, that, you know, they should be able to, if they want to put Breonna Taylor's name, I think the WNBA is doing it. If that's what they want.
They're doing names.
Allow them to do it.
Yeah, I don't know what the rationale is. I don't know if there was a fear, because there's a legitimate concern that, you know, that you're moving from just simply, you know, having the person's name to that person's name somehow being utilized to, like, you know, monetize, and looks like you're exploiting it. So maybe they're being overly cautious, you know, in that regards. I do know, you know, for a fact, because I'm definitely going to do it, and I'm assuming I'm not the only one, that when these jerseys go on sale, oh, hell yeah. I mean, I got a Kaepernick jersey, and he ain't played like in 4 years. So I'm pretty sure I'll have a Laker jersey.
You have a Mike Fiers t-shirt.
I do, because I just wanted to troll the Houston Astros. So, you know, I'm committed to the game in that way. And so I certainly am looking over the list, and what I would have liked to have the option And I'm sure that at the NBA store, you probably could buy a blank one and get the lettering however you want. You know, having a Black Lives Matter NBA jersey, it's dope. Power to the People jersey is dope. Liberation, dope. I don't know about I Am a Man. I don't know about that one.
I did a quick count here, guys.
Didn't that come from
29 choices. 29 to choose from. And I'm not saying, look, if you wanted something else, I hear you. And I'm saying, okay, that's what, but we're talking, the NBA is saying here are 29 things to choose from. It feels like a pretty significant, because you think about some of the other leagues that we're talking about, and the NBA is obviously far more progressive than some of these other ones. But I don't know, this just feels like this is a real step in the right direction, as opposed to, hey, it's a bad miss, that it was a terrible miss. It just seems like it's a step too far. They gave him 30 options to pick from.
Yeah, I think he just wanted to be able to personalize it to I think that's what it is. And by the NBA not allowing them to do that, they got to come up with another creative way, whether it's writing in on the sneakers or whatever the case may be, but it won't be on the jerseys.
Yeah, there's a couple on here I want to scratch off and replace. Like, I don't need one that says ally.
For instance?
I don't need one that says ally. I want you, because that means it sounds like you're coming over to help somebody in their battle. This is your battle, too. You ain't an ally. This is your war as well. You're a soldier, whether you want to fight or not. But an ally suggests you don't necessarily need to be involved. Oh, you're involved one way or another. So I would have scratched that. Like I said, I am a man. Like, whatever with that. I do like, listen to us, stand up. Group economics, I can see that being a low sale jersey. You know, group economics, that ain't really.
Yeah, the economic message is pretty esoteric. You're gonna have that's a harder one to explain to people.
That's like Keyshawn doing the spell toy. That's Keyshawn's spell toy, Travis.
Spell of jersey names.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Group economics. Absolutely. I don't know about that one, but definitely like
Jaylen Brown had some other suggestions.
What did Jaylen have to
say? Jaylen Brown had some other suggestions, like he wanted break the cycle, results, inequality by design. Those are all good examples, too. And I hear that, hey, I would like to have this, but I would imagine that there is something in the 30 choices that you could pick that would be very similar to what you wanted to put out there with your own message.
Yeah. But the names is just, I don't know. The names is personal. It's powerful. And I think that is kind of, I believe that's what he's reaching for.
You know what's nice about it, too, is that, what Dwight was talking about, what Avery Bradley was talking about, what Kyrie brought up, about a month or so ago, is, hey, let's not lose the momentum of the moment here. Let's make sure that we stay on message. Let's make sure that we continue to advance the message that we're putting out there. This is a really good example of that. This is not just we're not going to do that. We're going to go back to basketball. That this is a good example of the NBA can play basketball and at the same time continue to be a platform for players to speak and to recognize the issues that we're all talking about right now. And it's not just, who missed the jump shot at the end of the game? We're going to be talking about what's on the back of these guys' jerseys, the guys that make that choice to begin with, throughout this entire process as well.
The jerseys, the floor, I'm sure within, commercial time slots, they're going to have some commercials. I mean, they're doing their part, and that is amazing to see. Now let's get the rest of the leagues to do similar things.
Yeah, especially hockey. Hockey been real quiet. I got my eye on you, hockey. I see you trying to act like
hockey don't want to mess with LZ Granderson.
They acting like they ain't part of it, Key. Like the Chicago Blackhawks are located somewhere else. Like the Detroit Red Wings aren't located somewhere else. Like the Phoenix Coyotes. Yeah, I saw that video where the cops surrounded that brother sitting in his car asleep, and they shot him up real quick. Yeah, the video's out. Yeah, we marching in these streets. I see you, Phoenix Coyote. Yeah, I'm gonna need the NHL to act like it's not just an ally, but actually on top of this as well.
Yeah, everybody needs to do it. All right, Warren G is going to join us next. That's coming up on the Warren Show on 710 ESPN. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by rapper and producer Warren G, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. I'm good, man.
What's happening, dog?
Hey, what's up, Keyshawn?
Man, nothing. Yeah. still trying to figure out what to put this rub on, other than what I did on the 4th of July. that rub was fire. Fire. Yeah. I used it for the 4th of July. I got the box you sent me probably about a week or so ago. Broke out the rub, just put it down on the chicken and on some seafood, and it had some spice to it too.
Yeah.
I used both of them though. I used the one for the beef, and I used the OG. It was good.
Yeah, the orange G.
The beef, you could use that on anything.
Yeah, I use it on veggies.
It's beef, but you could use. Oh my God, that right there. Both of them is off the chain, man. But
how did you get involved? How did you get involved with creating the rubs?
It started my pops. He was in the services, and he was a chef. He boxed. He was in the chef. He did karate. All kind of. He was a chef in the services, and just from being a kid, man, just being around family function, and he was always cooking, and we having a good time. He used to tell a lot of jokes and just have a lot of fun. So it stuck with me, and I just decided to carry on the tradition. And then, along with just the grilling, I wanted to do more. So I started experimenting with different flavors and came up with a bunch of, flavors and stuff. Some of my buddies from Texas gave me, some of my friends from here in Cali. And I just kept working and working and working on it until I created something that would taste good. Like the OG rub, it's a savory, real savory rub, and the beef rub is more of a straight up rub. Like Keyshawn said, it's got a little kick to it, the OG rub. But once it's done in there good, it adds that extra boom when you take that bite, and it bites straight through.
Where can I get it? Keyshawn's not going to share with me. He's going to hoard it for himself. Where can I get it if I want to buy it?
Well, shoot, just sniffandgriffinsbarbecue.com, but it's sniffandgriffins, and then it's BBQ, not, I don't have it spelled out barbecue, but it's sniffandgriffinsbbq.com, or just you can go to my Instagram, sniffandgriffinsbarbecue, Instagram, and my bio, it'll take you straight to the website where you can buy it. But shoot me an address. I'll send a care package out there to you, man.
I was going to ask if you got a Groupon or something, because I'm on a budget.
it's all good, man. It's all good. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So how we moving through this pandemic, man? This is crazy, ain't it?
Yeah, we've been on lockdown for the last 4 months. Some moving around. Look, moving around. They opened it up. They opened up stuff slowly, so we was able to get it right. But then people down in Orange County, Travis and them,
whoa.
They trying to get the whole country shut down again.
But it's
been, we working from home remotely. All of us had to. We were in the studio probably the first week or so that it really took fire, and then they got us out of the studio and put us all in our separate homes. And so we've been working remotely for about the last 4 months from home, and quite frankly, I think we've gotten used to it.
I'm the same way. So I'm starting to get used to it. So we can't hit the road, man. So I'm just in the pad, just cooking up music at the same time.
Because we
can't go on the road for, they talking about till 2021 or 2022 when we'll be able to hit the road again.
But you have been in the studio. Like, in fact, you have a single getting ready to drop here in a few days.
Yeah, yes, indeed, man. And you know that with Ty Dolla $ign. Cool cat. I've been knowing him for a long time. I actually met his father before I met him. His father sold me my first music equipment. He used to work at Nadine's that was on Santa Monica. And when I first got my first budget from Def Jam, I went straight to Nadine's, and that's where I met his pops, Tyrone, big Ty. And
how long did it
later on?
How long did it take you to work on this single?
I mean, it didn't take long. I laid my parts, and I hit Ty like, man, I need you on this song. And I went over. He said, well, only way I'm going to get on is if you cook some Sniff and Gribble for me. So I went over to the studio. I went to the studio, and she came in with the music, everything. I went and played some pool while I was there. She about 30 minutes later, he laid the hook and a verse, and I was like, man, that's dope there. And
you came in right at, like, right when hip-hop was really kicking in the door and it could no longer be denied by radio stations and mainstream and none of that. We weren't just locked in on BET anymore. We were everywhere. How has the game changed culturally, you know, as someone who's kind of a godfather in this field? How have you witnessed the game change over the decades?
The digital world, it took over the physical groundwork. That's the change that's been the biggest, and it opened up a big lane for artists who's been trying for years to try to get their music in front of A&Rs and companies and stuff like that. They don't have to do that no more. They can just put records out and try to build it and build it and build it until it, until it land, until somebody say this is dope, and then people start, taking the records and promote it. It does its promotion on its own. But as far as the culture, it's a platform for, the world, the world to be able to hear our music now, and not have to go through this, this company here, that company there. They can just go right on Spotify and punch in the name, and it's like, bam, here he is right here. We've been looking for him. He got new music. Okay, bam. Then my whole fan base will go and listen to it. You know what I'm saying? And that's how the new music business is. But the digital world definitely provided a lane for music to really get even bigger. And I'm cool with that. It's way easier. And I'm independent now. All I got to do, I can go do a song right now in 15 minutes and load it right up and say, okay, a new release out now, boom. And it'll come out 2 hours from now. and it's up there, and people can listen to it. But this record, it's a special record, man. It's a feel good record, because we're going through some heavy times right now as far as all the protesting and the brutality, all the stuff that's going on. We need to get some type of feel good going. So I was like, instead of me making a record that's going to be sad or making people mad, I'm going to do a record that's going to feel good, summertime feel good, and try to take people away from what's going on right now and give them a good feeling. Not saying don't stop protesting or don't stop fighting for what's right, but every night you got to take a break, because stress piles up, and you don't want to pile up a bunch of stress and anger, because that'll kill you too. So it's good to get away every now and then, and that's what I did with this record with Ty Dolla $ign, is to get people away and then give them some of that good music again. I ain't killing everybody on the song, like saying I'm gonna do this or do that, because the lifestyle I'm living. So I'm gonna talk about the lifestyle I'm living. Even though I have been through, the stuff I've been through in my life, but that was done, and I told that story on Regulate the G-Funk era, and now it's like, teaching a different lane and hoping that a lot of the younger cats catch on. Still tell your story. I'm not saying, don't go to the strip clubs and nothing like that. Hey, I like to go to the strip club too. I like to have fun too. But after all that stuff that you've been through your neighborhoods and all that stuff, okay, you told that story. Now it's time to show how you changed and how you came back to help and build and teach other guys to to move the same way. You know, it ain't just about us shooting and all that stuff all day. Change it now. Like Lil Baby, he put out a record. It was far as about, you know, far as change. And hopefully a lot of the younger artists hear that also and be like, you know what? I'm going to flip the script too, but I'm going to still keep my edge, but not, you know, not just talk about this all the time, because you can see the trickle-down theory is all over the United States, Chicago, Atlanta, a few other places. It was, what, four or five young kids got shot throughout the holiday weekend? It's crazy, man. You know, because dudes want to, and it's all blacks shooting blacks. That's what's killing me. You know, after all the stuff we done went through, if for this to happen and you guys, you know, doing a job for the motherfuckers, don't. Oops, can I cuss on here?
You already did.
You just did. You already did. He's going to drop it. But you know what you did, though? You got real comfortable because you talking to us, see? When you talking to us, you get real comfortable. Yeah. You think you in the backyard barbecuing and we playing dominoes. So don't worry about it. We're going to let that one slide.
Exactly. Warren G, rapper, record producer, G-Funker, regulator, philosopher, Chef Boyard, Warren G with the sniffing grip. Real pearls of wisdom. My question to you, and I've been a hip-hop fan since jump. And my biggest criticism has always been exactly what you're talking about. Like, when I started from jump, I was a kid, but now I'm a grown-ass man. I need you to talk about grown-ass stuff. How hard is it, though, to stay relevant in hip-hop when you're trying to grow as a man while still identifying with a younger ear who tends to buy the hip-hop music?
Just got to be yourself. Got to be yourself and you know, and be different. And I just do my music on how I'm feeling. And when you stay, you know, original and not trying to follow all the fads and stuff like that, you know, people say, you know, like, dang, that dude is dope. Like a Kendrick, he's different because he's doing him. He ain't trying to be like nobody else, or you know, or J. Cole, or you know, any of these guys. They ain't copycat. They being different. You know, and people love that when you know when you could be yourself and not trying to copy everybody else. And that's how you stay relevant and have longevity and not. You know, not just all over the place, you know, all over the internet doing stupid stuff. You know, just giving good music, you know, because music always going to be here. And it don't matter if you old, young, age is, you can never be too old or young to make a hit record. And Michael McDonald just proved that right now. He just released a new single. And he's shooting about 70 years old.
Warren G is joining us here on The Morning Show. Like you mentioned, we know something positive, something to look forward to. What are you hearing about USC football, just college football in general? Your son, of course, member of the USC football program. Are we going to see Pac-10 football or Pac-12 football this fall?
Well, I hope, man. Right now, they're just doing different phases of – you know, preparing them to get back out there on the field for us practice and stuff like that. They got to get tested every Monday. And I was like, damn. I was like, man, I'm going to have to call up there to tell them, man, y'all can't keep sticking this stuff in my son's nose every Monday. Because, you know, when they stick that thing up your nose or get the test and stuff, your nose be bleeding like a couple days after that and stuff. So it's kind of hard on them. You know, they should, once they get their test, they just got to make sure that they stay in that, and you know, you guys stay okay with defensive backs. You guys stay together because we can test you guys. We know you guys ain't getting out in the street because you're right here with us. And I can't wait, man. I'm hoping everything pan out so these guys can get back to football, basketball, track, everything, man. It's been crazy without sports, man.
Very soon. Warren G joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. It was a pleasure. Thanks for coming on this morning. Appreciate it.
All right, Dub.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. All right, G.
We're going to hold you to that dry rub, by the way, bro.
I was going to say, stay on the line. My address is coming soon. Thank you, man. Yeah. Appreciate it very much. All right.
Hey, it's all good. I'll have Charlie get all of the information, and I'll shoot you guys out a care package. Keyshawn, perfect. If you need something else, let me know. I'll shoot it right out there to you.
Okay, Ben.
Perfect. Absolutely fantastic. All right. Patrick Mahomes got paid nearly $500 million. Is he the best bet in sports? That's coming up next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.